There might be a battle at cornerback in New Orleans Saints training camp, but Paulson Adebo has shown that he's not going down without a fight and can't stop making plays. We got all of that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Friday live episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And of course, your podcast bringing you everything you need to know around your New Orleans Saints. Thank you so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that you can find us on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. And of course, you can find me every single day over at USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And we are back here for another live post-practice episode of Locked On Saints, where I take the next 20 to 25 minutes or so to give you all of the news that you need to know from, in this case, day three of training camp. And then we'll get a little bit deeper and dive a little bit deeper into some other stories later on today. We're going to break down some news around Taysom Hill, who missed today's practice, why, the severity of what caused it, and what it means for some other tight ends in the building. But first, I want to get us started with Paulson Adebo, who is just having the training camp of his life so far over the course of the first 3 days. Want to thank everybody who is here live with us so that you can get all of this information. I see a bunch of people in the chat already. Go ahead and do me a little favor. If you're watching live right now, make sure you hit the like button. If you haven't subscribed, take the time to subscribe for me, please. And go ahead and drop a your team every day in the chat, because that is the motto that we are living by these days here on Locked On Saints, where you're getting at least two episodes a day here throughout training camp. So let's go ahead and get this one started. Paulson Adebo, like I said, just can't stop making plays. He was back with first team, taking reps opposite Marshon Lattimore today. Remember the rhythm of what we expected that to be. Paulson Adebo got the first team reps on the first day. Bradley Roby got the first team reps on the second day. And then we sort of expected that it was going to be Alante Taylor that was going to get the third day's first team reps. But it all went back to Paulson Adebo. Those three, we are expecting to sort of be in a little bit of a position battle at cornerback two opposite Marshon Lattimore, but Paulson Adebo getting right back in there and again making plays. Whether it was in 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s, if it was whatever opportunities he got, he just continues to do it. He's really sticky in coverage. He's very physical, and he's showing you those ball skills that made him a draftable prospect and probably a guy that should have been one of the top corners in his class had it not been for him opting out of that 2020 collegiate season. You're seeing all of it continue here in training camp, just like we saw on the field last year in 2021, where he had 30 interceptions, I wish, 3 interceptions, 66 tackles, doing a good job all over the place in the run game as well as in the passing game. So you're seeing the things that we knew made Paulson Adebo special from the very beginning. Don't forget, when it comes to those ball skills and his ability to be able to make plays on the ball, that he is a former wide receiver converted to a cornerback, much like Alante Taylor, who showed up at Tennessee as a wide receiver and then was converted over to corner. So that's where a lot of those ball skills come from. His ability to make catches, his ability to make breaks on the ball, or to read what it is that a wide receiver is going to do, to read a quarterback's eyes, the expectations of how route concepts break down. All of that fits in terms of what it is that you get with Paulson Adebo, and he's showing it all to you right away so far here during camp. Every day he's recorded at least one pass breakup. He had another really, really nice one today. Again, just making the right read, jumping on a pass, and being extremely physical at the catch point. So he's done a fantastic job thus far. Don't forget to drop all of your questions in the chat, y'all, because I'm going to take your questions and I'm going to answer them as our sort of part three of our evening episode that will come later on tonight. We're also going to break down a little bit further what this cornerback position battle looks like at that time. But with Paulson Adebo standing out, I also wanted to shout out another defensive back that had a really, really nice day today. There's been a lot of conversations around safety for the New Orleans Saints this offseason, and of course, that makes sense. Marcus Williams left. He signed with the Baltimore Ravens. Malcolm Jenkins retired. The Saints sign Marcus May to bring him in from the New York Jets. And then they also, of course, bring back hometown legend and LSU Tiger, Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu has continued to be excused from practice. He's still not present yet while away dealing with a private family matter. No updates beyond that as of right now, aside from the fact that he's still not back at New Orleans Saints training camp yet. Maybe he'll be gone for the first week and then show up as the second week begins or something like that. We'll see how it goes. But as of right now, there's a lot of conversations around safety nonetheless. The big name to really keep an eye out on right now, though, in that safety room is somebody we've talked about a bunch here on the show, Justin Evans. For those of you that are going to be out at practice tomorrow, tomorrow's practice is open to fans. Don't forget number 30 when you see him out on the field. And right now, Tyrann Mathieu's absence, as well as a couple of early exits, CJ Gardner-Johnson and Bryce Thompson. Don't worry, those were just heat-related. That all had to do with weather. We asked Dennis Allen about them after practice, and he said simply heat got to them. So don't expect CJ Gardner-Johnson or Bryce Thompson to go missing for any extended amount of time. Doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. But with them off the field today, it gave Justin Evans a really good opportunity to stand out. He had at least two pass breakups, was vocal out on the field, jumping around all over the place and everything. And he did a lot of different coverage responsibilities all throughout as well. We saw him line up in a few different places, first team, second team, whole bunch of different ways too. So make sure you're keeping an eye out and not forgetting about what Justin Evans potentially brings to this team as a guy that, of course, was someone that can play down in the box, that can play that deep safety role, that can cover in the slot, that's extremely physical and really good in run support. He does a lot of things that the New Orleans Saints love from the safety position. So don't forget about Justin Evans. And of course, there's no way to forget about Paulson Adebo because of the way that he continues to make his plays. Now, one player that, of course, we will never forget about when it comes to the New Orleans Saints because he's just too darn unique is, of course, offensive weapon Taysom Hill. But Taysom Hill was not on the field today. He's dealing with an injury. Let's get you an update on what that injury is, the severity around it, when it sounds like he'll be back, and what it means for a fan favorite in the tight end room as of right now. We'll get to all of that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked on Saints. And we can do that thanks to our friends over at Bet Online, who have odds up for 11 regular season games right now. However, the New Orleans Saints only favored in 5 of those games, 2 of which are also pick'ems on top of that, but otherwise they're underdogs in the remaining games. So if you feel like the New Orleans Saints can pull off some upsets against, let's say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Los Angeles Rams, who they are not favored against, they're considered underdogs in both of those games, now is the time to go and check all of it out over at Bet Online. You can also get in on all of your favorite sports, the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the NHL, esports, and so much more, including horse racing, golf, and even, you know, all the combat sports as well. So go and check it out on your mobile device or on your laptop so you can keep up with all the trends in action over at Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, family, we are continuing on with today's episode of Locked on Saints. We are here live on the Locked on Saints YouTube channel. Appreciate you, everybody who is here. Don't forget to hit that like button. Don't forget to drop that your team every day in the chat for me as well as you continue through. We're going to be having a lot of fun with all the Locked on Hoodats that have been here throughout the entire offseason as we're getting started with training camp in earnest. Finally, here we are, 3 days in, 3 days up, 3 days down. Already feels like it is flying by. So I want to jump now into our big update on Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill missed today's practice. So we asked a little bit about it. Remember, I kind of mentioned that he went off the field yesterday, came back on the field. There were also some other folks that mentioned that at the end of practice, he went off with a trainer. Looks like that is all connected to an injury that he sustained in yesterday's practice. Taysom Hill expected to be out, quote, for a bit. Didn't seem like it was really anything super urgent. Sounds like what happened was that he took a shot to the ribs at some point during Thursday's practice that led to him missing today, Friday's practice. Now, it doesn't seem in terms of severity at all that this is something of massive concern, just in terms of the tone that was used to kind of update all of us from Dennis Allen. Didn't seem like there was really any concern, or really at least not enough concern that it, you know, hit on any kind of a discernible scale at all. So that's pretty good news. But still, we were just talking about how great Taysom Hill is in this role and how fantastic he's going to be for the team. You don't want to see him miss any time. And also, just to be clear, this injury that forced him off the field on Friday to where he wasn't, where he didn't participate, is not connected to any of the previous injuries that he suffered last year, the finger injury, the concussion, nor the Lisfranc injury that he suffered in week 18 and is made a remarkable recovery from to be out on the field at all at this time. So it doesn't seem like it's anything connected to those old injuries. It was just a shot to the ribs. And I think that you're right to be cautious with Taysom Hill. He knows the system. He knows the role that he's playing. The big thing is about just getting him to see it from the tight end perspective. That's why you have him in the tight end room. But if he's not out on the field taking the reps, it's not a huge loss for him because he's so familiar with what this team does. But it would be nice, of course, for him to be able to continue to build his rapport with quarterback Jameis Winston, as well as even, you know, Andy Dalton, right? Just to make sure that he's getting those reps in at the position. So they're still valuable, but at least it's not the end of the world. At this point, I've seen some folks already talk about, oh, well, they're going to be without Taysom Hill for X, Y, and Z. No, it doesn't seem like it's going to be anything, at least at this time, right? Good organizations keep things under wraps. We understand that. And of course, you can only take things at face value. So face value right now seems to say this isn't too severe. And the expectation is that he'll be back out on the field soon. Same thing with tight end Juwan Johnson. Doesn't seem to be anything too severe there either at this time, but not a lot of detail around that one either. At least we got a little bit of additional detail when it came to Taysom Hill. So we'll continue to keep you up to date on all of that. But expectation right now is that, you know, these guys are going to be back as soon as possible. And it doesn't seem like it's anything that's, you know, weeks into the season at this point. So that's really, really good. It's not like it's a season ending injury that we've heard about, at least at this point. And the other thing that this does, though, is with Juwan Johnson off the field, with Taysom Hill off the field, it did give a fan favorite, Lucas Kroll, an opportunity to really get some nice reps in today. And in particular, or at least not the least of which, being one rep during team drills where he ended up making himself or getting himself open on a crossing route and getting hit downfield, sort of right in between, sort of like intermediate deep area, maybe like a 17-yard pass or so on the over route from Andy Dalton, which was very nicely placed. Lucas Kroll making a nice athletic catch and then turning immediately upfield to be able to pick up some yards after catch as well for what would have probably been like a 20 to 25 yard gain or something around that area. So really, really nice stuff from Lucas Kroll, getting the opportunity to take advantage of some additional playing time, which he may be able to do tomorrow. I don't know that the Saints are going to be interested at all in rushing Taysom Hill nor Juwan Johnson back out on the field tomorrow when fans are there, although it would be nice to get those guys out in front of fans as they are some fan favorites. But at least if they're not able to be out there, you'll get another deeper look at Lucas Kroll, who's making good on his opportunities so far. All right, now as we continue on, before we get to our big rookie update, which is where we're going to wrap up the show looking at and going through all five of the drafted rookies, giving you some updates there, I want to speak a little bit on Jameis Winston, give you a little bit more of a Jameis Winston update as well. So oh, and somebody here in the chat, Ramon, makes a good point, was likely an accident by a player trying to punch the ball out of his hands. That's very likely, actually, I would say, because the Saints defense is being coached to do that. And you see that with every player that catches the ball all the way through, as you know, the Saints tend to play long on their practice reps, meaning runners will keep running even after, you know, it's assumed that they would have gone down. Defenders will continue to pursue and wrap up and try to punch the ball out all the way through as well. These guys don't really take it easy at any point during these reps. So that's a really, really good point by Ramon, and very likely could be exactly when it happened. So see somebody asking about what happened to Taysom Hill. So just to wrap that up, Taysom Hill, rib injury, took a shot to the ribs on yesterday, during yesterday's practice, was out today. We'll see if he's back on Saturday. Okay, coming up, I want to dive now into a little bit of a Jameis Winston update. Look, we haven't seen Jameis Winston really uncork one yet. Maybe that changes tomorrow with fans in attendance, but as of right now, his focus has been true to what he said his focus would be, which is short area, quick passes. That's what he's been working on. He was 2 of 6 during team drills. I didn't catch what his percentage was during 7-on-7s, but I think I saw him somewhere around like 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 there. But it wasn't all on him, those four incomplete passes during team drills. Tony Jones Jr. had a pair of pretty upsetting drops. And look, sometimes it can be about the miscommunication between the quarterback and the running back, just trying to get into rhythm. How far do I need to lead you? How fast are you? All of that. But look, when a pass hits a player's hands, it's hard not to put that on the receiver, right? So Tony Jones Jr. had a little bit of a lackluster practice today. Hopefully he can have a bounce back day tomorrow. But these running backs and these tight ends getting a lot of work in with Jameis Winston, who's staying pretty close to the line of scrimmage. But the thing that I love the most about what Jameis Winston is doing so far by staying close to the line of scrimmage is the usage of Jarvis Landry. Those two are putting together and building a really nice rapport with one another over the middle of the field. And that's going to be a big time go-to, big time staple in that 2022 Saints passing offense for sure. The connection between Jameis Winston and Jarvis Landry. Just as one quick footnote as well there, Michael Thomas still not participating in 7-on-7s or team drills. Not a big surprise. I wouldn't expect to see that up until maybe sometime next week, but we'll see if the Saints surprise us tomorrow. Okay, coming up next, we're going to dive into our big rookie update here as we roll around through camp. We're going to talk about all five drafted rookies and what we've seen from them thus far through 3 days of training camp. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with our big rookie update. We're going around five drafted rookies from the New Orleans Saints, giving you a little bit of an update where each of them stand. And I'll give you a quick update on some position battle news as well. Nothing too huge, but still just something to keep an eye out on. Thank you again, everybody who was here live. Thank you to all of you who are listening or watching later as well. Appreciate you very much for being here. If you're here live, don't forget to drop a comment in the chat here so that I can gather those together and answer a bunch of questions in tonight's episode. One quick update outside of the New Orleans Saints organization, Kwon Alexander. I know a lot of people always ask about Kwon. He is now a New York Jet. So as of right now, he will not be returning to the New Orleans Saints, but we'll see how everything plays out at that position for every team across the NFL. All right, so let's get into our rookie updates here. Let's start with the first draft pick for the New Orleans Saints in their 2022 draft class, wide receiver out of Ohio State, Chris Olave. Listen, Chris Olave, whether you're looking for him or not, you find him. I mean, if it's because of the physicality and the intensity that he brings to each one of his drills, if it's not that, it's his speed. If it's not that, it's his remarkably sure hands. And there are a lot of reasons why Chris Olave will find success in this New Orleans Saints offense. But I have to tell you that it's not just limited, just like Luke Johnson and I talked about at the beginning of the week, to his ability to stretch the field and be a deep threat. This guy is going to be able to be a threat at all three levels of an NFL offense, particularly in this offense where he is already starting to really, really settle in. And you can already tell that he's comfortable with the coaching staff. I was reading somebody's comment. He's really settling into the playbook. He's settling into the scheme. He's settling into the system. He understands his role. Everything about it is going really well. Michael Thomas speaking very highly about him. Very excited that Chris Olave is in the building. So far, everything looks really, really good around, through, and about Chris Olave. So far, that's going great. Next, let's jump into a little bit of conversation around Trevor Penning. So this is where we're going to get our it's kind of position battle update a little bit. Dennis Allen confirming after practice that as of right now, James Hurst is the starter at left tackle. Trevor Penning, though, continues to get reps at the position, continues to get work there, and is right now still taking first-team reps in addition to getting some second-team reps as well. So not for nothing, Trevor Penning getting a lot of opportunities at first-team, but they're not putting the pressure of, you know, bona fide starter on him right away, which I think is the smart thing to do. You're waiting to see how he develops. You're waiting to see how, you know, what Coach Marrone is able to do with him as an offensive line coach, all of that, which Doug Marrone, by the way, has been outstanding to watch so far during camp. You also now have two former offensive linemen for the New Orleans Saints in that room helping with Zach Schrieff, who's the assistant offensive line coach, and then Jari Evans, who joined Ty Warren as coaching interns, are both on the staff now as well. So really cool to have those former players involved in helping to get guys like Trevor Penning and Cesar Ruiz up to speed. And I think a guy like Jari Evans in particular could be very helpful to Cesar Ruiz. But looking back to what the Saints are able to do here with Trevor Penning, expect to see Trevor Penning continue to get into the rotation, continue to get into more first team snaps and all that. But James Hurst at the moment is considered the starter going into the season. And we'll see if that changes. We'll see how Trevor Penning rises to the occasion, but not a lot of pressure being put on Trevor Penning. Another quick update over on the offensive line, just since we're here, Cesar Ruiz looking okay, not looking bad. Again, it's very hard to really track the progress of any offensive lineman or defensive lineman before pads go on, and they don't get pads on until Monday. So anything that you hear about the offensive line or defensive line for right now, we can take with a little bit of a grain of salt, unless it's Peyton Turner running over players. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're wearing pads or not. You're still moving 200, 300 pound men, and that's still very impressive. Next up, we'll get into Alante Taylor. So Alante Taylor, I expected to get first team reps at cornerback 2 today, but they went back to Paulson Adebo instead. This is probably a little bit of what you're seeing with Trevor Penning as well. Not overworking these guys or throwing them into the deep end right away, which is kind of smart throughout the first week, which is kind of this like acclimation period for a lot of players as well. Anyway, so Alante Taylor getting a lot of second team reps, stuff like that. But I have to tell you, he's still getting to go up against guys like Marquez Callaway and Traquan Smith and Deontay Hardy. Like, he's still getting to match up with these guys because everyone rotates a bunch in terms of team to team. So the thing to note about Alante Taylor is, first of all, his size stands out big time. His speed and ability to close is absolutely present and something that jumps off the field. And his physicality at the line of scrimmage, which is something he really wanted to work on, press man coverage, has been something that has worked in his favor thus far. Now, it's a little bit harder when you're in 7-on-7s. You don't have, you know, certain players to rely on in terms of your coverage sets and you're passing players off and things like that. So in those situations, that's where you really get to see, okay, what's this like in a 1-on-1 circumstance for him? So far, he's handled himself well. Remember Cody Burns, New Orleans Saints wide receiver coach, who, of course, used to be at the University of Tennessee with Alante Taylor before he was drafted and before Cody Burns was hired, noted Taylor as public enemy number one in 1-on-1s, which is a really, really good title to have when you're a DB, for sure. Okay, let's look at the Jackson brothers next. No relation, sorry. But DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker out of App State, as well as Jordan Jackson, the interior defensive lineman out of the Air Force Academy. DeMarco Jackson has had some moments where he has caught my eye. His downhill speed and his ability to pursue are really impressive, and they stand out. Now, he's got some things that he has to learn just about how to operate within the second level of this scheme and all of that, but he's getting work at multiple spaces in the second level. He's getting work and getting looks in the run game as well as in coverage, and he does have the ability to cover and move with some of these linebackers. Now, there are some times where he's allowed some players to get open. I believe he was actually the one that was in coverage on the first day of practice when Taysom Hill got a couple of steps on him, but he did show a little bit of closing speed as well, got to take advantage of the underthrown ball because he didn't give up on the play, even though he did get beat off the line of scrimmage. So that's a really good place so far in terms of what we have seen, or a really good sort of, let's just say, barometer for what we've seen at this moment from DeMarco Jackson. So DeMarco Jackson continues to find his way to fit in. We'll see what he does. And he's getting opportunities right now with Pete Werner still out. Pete Werner has not returned back to the lineup just yet. Remember, he was on the NFI list to get started with practice and all of that. So not a surprise. We do expect both he and Marcus Davenport to be back out on the field pretty soon. And then we'll wrap up with Jordan Jackson, the defensive tackle, defensive lineman out of the Air Force Academy. I'm going to be honest, he hasn't had any big time splash plays or anything like that just yet, but he is disruptive in the middle and he does demand attention. And he is somebody that catches your eye because he plays a style of interior defensive lineman that's unique to the New Orleans Saints, who usually have some pure pass rusher types, pure disruptive, you know, going to move the offensive lineman and put them in the lap of the quarterback types. So you can see Jordan Jackson and his athleticism and his more sort of athletic approach to the position as something that is a positive and is something that catches your eye. So I'm going to make a more, I'll just call it concerted effort to really, really get a look at him tomorrow. But really, once we get pads on or once they get pads on and everything, that's when we're really, really going to get an opportunity to lean in on some of these offensive linemen and defensive linemen to get their sort of evaluation and their progress. Make sure that you guys all get your questions in here on the chat so that I can make sure that you get the information that you need in tonight's episode. Remember, we're doing 2 episodes a day, so I'm going to make sure that that third part of every evening episode answers all of your questions. So we'll get that for you. Just make sure you get those questions in the chat. If you have questions, if you're listening to this a little bit later and you didn't make the live show, don't worry. Just tweet them at me or leave them in the YouTube comments. You could, of course, always find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola. All right, coming up later on today, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the cornerback 2 battle and what the Taysom Hill injury means for guys like Lucas Kroll and others. But one of the big things that I really, really want to discuss is just sort of the, let's call it the temperature or maybe the culture of the New Orleans Saints so far during training camp. Doug Marrone has been setting a tone. Cam Jordan has been setting a tone. Mark Ingram has been setting a tone. There's a lot to be excited about when it comes to the New Orleans Saints, and it's clear that the Saints are excited about their futures as well. And according to Mark Ingram, they have those Super Bowl aspirations. So we'll break all of that down in tonight's episode. Make sure you don't miss that. I appreciate y'all, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day for your second listen, make sure you go and check out that Locked On NFL podcast so you can find out what's going on around all of the training camps across the NFL. And I appreciate y'all, as always, for making me a part of your day and a part of your routine. If you see me, say hi, especially if you're coming out to practice tomorrow. Make sure you holler at me over the gate. I'll be out there. Happy to say hello. And well, I'll be back with you later on today. And again, tomorrow we'll be live right after practice. As always, y'all, feel free to follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holler at you.